How's it going, everybody? This is the Nitty Gritty. With me, as usual, is Leonard. My name is Chad. This is a show about wrestling, and this week we are going to be bringing you one of our random match reviews where one of us has sent the other one a random match, usually something that not a lot of people have seen. And we go over the background, and we go over the match itself, and then, just give our general thoughts. On this occasion, Leonard has sent me the match. And I am going to throw it to him because it is an interesting one.
So a while back we did our you may call it a salary cap draft for Survivor Series teams, and my captains were Jake Roberts and Ric Flair, and we wondered, hey, did they ever wrestle each other? And we found at least one match where they did. It was for the NWA World Heavyweight Title that Ric Flair held at the time. It was from November 20th of 1985 in Mid-South Wrestling. Took place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. There are three videos, all of this same match, available on YouTube. The whole match is about 26 minutes long, and there's also an episode of UWF Power Pro Wrestling. Mid-South would become the Universal Wrestling Federation. From June 1st of 1986, and that features a clipped version of the match. Now, that match does have commentary, which fills in some of the holes for me. But the 26-minute videos are the whole match, and I would recommend watching those. So the referee here is Carl Fergie, who I'll mention because he was a wrestler and referee in Memphis, was very known there. And the storyline here is that Ric Flair was feuding with Butch Reed because after Junkyard Dog left, Bill Watts wanted to have another big black babyface and was building up Butch Reed. And of course, Butch Reed would go to the WWF as well. But Dick Slater and Ric Flair jumped Butch Reed shortly before this show, which was going to be his match, and injured his neck. And so Jake Roberts was substituted in as the challenger, sort of out of nowhere. And as one would guess, this match is all about the psychology and the storytelling. And it starts off with Flair making fun of how Jake is dressed. He's dressed kind of bummy. So Roberts nails him with the DDT out of the gate, which is very surprising. The bell hasn't rung yet, so the match hasn't started. So the referee backs Jake off to check on Flair. He's chanting, "Ring the bell." The crowd's really loud and hot. Jake threatens the referee. Flair falls to the floor and the ref checks on him. He tells the referee he's leaving. This is really some of the best pre-match stalling and shenanigans I've ever seen because they're making it such a heat segment and the crowd is so into it. The PA system is junk and I can't make out what the ref or Jake is saying on the microphone. And this gets cut from the Power Pro episode, and it's probably why, because you can't make out what they're saying. But Jake gets a DDT chant going, the bell rings. The crowd counts along with the count out. Flair eventually makes his way back, continues to stall, and we really don't get any wrestling till about the 7:30 mark. And before I go on with the match itself, Chad, your thoughts on all these the pre-match shenanigans and the DDT coming out of nowhere?
I loved how it started as far as the DDT goes. I thought that definitely caught me off guard. And I had wondered, I thought there, I guess I expected, based on the fact that, what I watch these days is more fast-paced television era type stuff. I expected them to start the match a little bit quicker after that, like incorporating the fact that Flair was injured into the match itself, or at least hurting. But they didn't do that. Like, as you said, there was, I mean, the classic villain stalling, and he was going to leave, and then he's not. He's told to come back, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I really liked the beginning of this. And, it is telling. Ric Flair comes out with the robe and looking like Ric Flair. And what I found interesting is that, if I'm not mistaken, this is the, before the Big Gold, the NWA belt that he's using.
Yes.
And what makes that interesting as a footnote is that based on this being in November of 85, in 1986 is when the Big Gold belt would make its debut, and he would start using that, obviously. But Ric Flair looks like Ric Flair does, and Jake Roberts does kind of look like, some random dude off the street.
He's wearing like a headband and a cutoff shirt,
Yeah.
and yeah, not the Jake look that we would become familiar with like the snake tights and the WWF.
Right.
Yeah, and it should be mentioned, this is November of 85, and Jake would be in the WWF for WrestleMania 2. I don't remember when his debut date was, but this was probably very close to the end of his Mid-South run.
It was in 86. Yeah, I was going to mention that too. Yeah, he would make his debut for WWE in the 1986, and he was, you know, had something going with Dick Slater in Mid-South, and basically what is written is the fact that Jake left because he was told he was never going to be a top guy, even though he was clearly getting top guy reactions. And you can certainly hear that here as well.
Yeah, crowd is very much into him. For the match itself, a little blow-by-blow, Roberts with the early advantage, and he tries through the DDT right away, but Flair drops to the mat and backs off. And that's really the story of the match, is Jake wanting the DDT and Flair just doing everything he can to avoid it. I think it's a good back and forth, especially through the early going. Here, Roberts works a reverse front chancery on the mat to slow things down a bit. Flair works up and they fight over a suplex in a nice segment with Roberts getting it for a two count, and the crowd keeps chanting for the DDT. Flair hit what appears to be a low blow and takes over, and they fight over a backslide, which I think was in every Flair match in the 80s. And Flair goes for a sleeper hold, and then we get a great segment. This is my favorite part of the match. Roberts grabs the knee as Flair tries one of his signature knee drops, and he turns that into a figure four. So you have Roberts working the figure four on Flair, yeah, and he's doing all the things that you do to get it over, to make it look painful. Flair is selling great. He eventually makes the ropes. Flair stops Jake's offense by picking him up out of a headlock and driving his leg into the mat. And that's blood in the water for Flair. You know, Flair misses a stomp to the leg while draped on the ropes. Roberts snakes up, I'm going to call it, and tells Flair to hit him. Jenk with his boxing punches. Roberts with a sleeper. Flair breaks with a back suplex. And he goes up top and is tossed off. So Jake hits a running knee lift. He misses a second. Flair gets a figure four try countered into a small package, which he reverses and gets a flash three count. So, and there's some post-match stuff. We'll get to that. Your thoughts on the match itself?
I thought the match was very good. A classic, you know, 4 out of 4 stars? I don't know that I'd go that far. I thought the match was very good, and it was very much, as you said earlier, a psychology-based match. Honestly, This match went exactly how I would picture a face Jake versus heel Flair match going.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And in adding on to that, especially in the territory system, the way it ended. So everything kind of went like I would imagine that it would. But it was good stuff. Don't get me wrong. That's not to discount it. The whole stuff with Jake working the figure four, I thought was very good. And as we talked about the beginning, the match started off in a really hot way. These are two guys that are very good. Jake is good. He's obviously going to continue to improve. Flair is on top of the world. I thought that they worked really well together, to the point where it's a shame that we never got a mainstream feud between these guys, because I think if this proves anything, it's that they could have done something.
Yeah, I mean, if you look later on, Jake and Flair were kind of ships passing in the night.
Right.
When they were both in the WWF there, because Jake wound up leaving and going to WCW and having that short program with Sting. But there certainly could have been, there was a small window there where they may have been able to do something in WWF. I think they were both in the Rumble, the 92 Rumble at the same time together.
And that was heel Jake, right?
Yes, I think there might have been a very small window before Jake turned heel again, where Flair was there. Maybe, yeah, very small window, because Jake turned heel again when he attacked Savage at the 91 SummerSlam at the wedding.
Right.
Right, yeah. So, after the match, Butch Reed, who, as I mentioned, was supposed to be the real challenger here, came out with his neck injured in a neck brace. And, he helps Roberts to protest you know, what's, you know, what happened, and Flair jumps Roberts and Reed as they get into the ring. So this was kind of adding some fuel to the fire when Butch Reed could get that match against Flair. Don't know, you know, if that ever did take place. I didn't think to look, but that may be a match for down the road. But as far as, you know, my thoughts in general on the match, I think it bogs down a bit in the middle, but it's really great storytelling. As we both said, they got good chemistry, great opening segment, love the figure four spot. Flair, I think, is selling great throughout. The crowd is really behind Roberts. The ending is a little bit out of nowhere. If we're going on the five-star system, I would call it four stars or three out of four. You know, to me, I really enjoyed it, even though I think there are, you know, some bits that could have been a bit better.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I'd probably give it like the three out of four stars if we're doing that, or, you know, around like a 7.5 or an 8 out of 10, that thereabouts. But yeah, I thought it was a good match. I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad it exists, you know, to go back and look at. And yeah, I think it's just an interesting fact that these two guys got together at any point. And I'm sure Butch Reed and Ric Flair had, you know, an extended feud based on the whole neck angle. So
yeah, you know, and sometimes we've done matches in the past where it hasn't lived up to what you hoped, like the Steve Austin versus Randy Savage match from Worldwide,
right?
And the dark match between Hennig and Lesnar. And this is a match that, as you said, it goes about the way you think it would. And I think this is, if they only had one match, hey, it was a pretty good match to have.
It met expectations, I think. All right, well, let us know if you've seen this match. Let us know your thoughts, or go ahead and seek it out. Like Leonard said, avoid the Power Pro one, which is clipped, but there are other videos out there, even if the video quality isn't the greatest.
Yeah, video quality is not great, and there's no commentary on either one, so it doesn't really matter which one you watch. But back then,
watching stuff like that, I feel like at this point, other people might not, but, you know, they are. It is out there. Let us know in the comments what you thought. Yeah. Check out our other episodes, our segment Surgery, Stupid Questions, and our full-length episodes. We're available wherever you listen to podcasts. For Leonard, my name is Chad, and we will see you next time.